The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Thank you, Albert Breer. Thank you, Anthony Rizzo. We'll see if that's the final time we talk to him as a Cub. He said, yes, I promise I'll come on if I get traded, but...
Whatever. He's gonna lose your number.
Yeah.
he's going, who? Who you?
That's it.
Danny's gonna call next week in Boston. He's gonna go, who you? No, Cap and Hoodie.
Who?
I don't know.
Never heard of him. That's it. So... thank you, Danny, Jeff, and JR. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Harness Racing back at Hawthorne Racecourse with betting action every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night under the lights. Details at HawthorneRacecourse.com. Hoodie and I back at 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Carmen Yurko.
What's up, fellas?
What up, boys? How's everything? Beautiful day.
It was fine until my friend here to the left was going to pop a pimple on his...
On my knee, just to the right of my knee, kind of on the IT band. Mm. Boy, I felt it. I'm like, what in the hell's going on in there? It's a little ingrown hair, and I started squeezing it. And Johnny looks at me and goes, if that flies on me, we're going to the ground. I guarantee it.
I'm just telling you.
And then I quit squeezing it because I don't want to go to the ground with anyone, certainly not with a man.
I'm just telling you, man, that's not good. So it was getting too close to the jeans here.
I understand. So there's a little bit of oozing out there, but I can still feel the hairs in there, so I'm going to have to get some tweezers and get that thing out of there.
Well, Nobody has to do more work on their body like this than this guy. Yeah, he's like, oh, I got a pimple back here. I'm going to pop it. Come pop it for me. I am telling you.
There was one on the back of my neck one time. I felt it when it popped. You could feel the instant release, the release and the relief on your brain. You know what I'm saying? It's like it was affecting the functionality of my occipital lobe.
Oh, my God.
Maybe blurring my vision.
That knows more medical
blurring
terms
my vision,
than
my friend.
All of the Mayo Clinic combined.
I spent a lot of time in training rooms and I listened.
Yeah, he paid attention.
You do two things in the training room. You can just fall asleep, do your work, fall asleep, or do your work and listen. I listened.
Do you think you could perform surgery if you had to? No.
Not even remotely close. That's a different demon.
But you know the terminology, though.
The terminology I might know.
I picture Yurko like in Spies
Like
Us.
My brother, when he was live.
And now we will inside.
And Merkel was at Stryker. Merkel was in the operating rooms when they were replacing knees because he had to put the parts in order.
Yeah.
Then he'd hand the parts to the doctor when the doctor needed them. And they'd relax the doctor. They'd always talk Notre Dame football.
Right.
They'd talk about the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. You know, great games that Notre Dame has had in the past, offered theories and thoughts on players.
So maybe he could have.
It was great. Well, he couldn't have performed anything. You don't have the techniques and you don't know what to do and how to do it and where to scrub. But the difference is at least he was there.
Yeah, that's true.
He was there in the mix, you know?
Yeah.
When they had the betadine all over the body, they put the thing on, they cut it open, and bam, he's looking at it all.
The what all over the
body? Blood, guts, everything. The betadine. They wash your area down that's going to have an incision. With that brown stuff, betadine.
Yeah.
And then they put like a tape over the top, an adhesive.
That's right.
And that adhesive, then when they cut through that adhesive, it keeps just all the other skin and everything away.
Amazing.
Surface hair and any other, but they shave it usually.
And now we will shave the patient.
Yes, now it's time to shave the patient. Now,
I had to deal with that when I had my heart surgery.
I'm telling you.
I got a hairy chest, and bam.
They shave it all off, right?
Yeah. That's right. Clip it, then
and
shave.
And then they tape a silver... like pad to your chest.
That's what he's talking about, I think.
Yeah.
This is to shock you.
Oh. And then they crack your chest.
And so when my heart stopped and I went through my near death journey.
And we saw the aliens. Yeah.
Bam!
So when they get the saw, the big miter saw, and they go, start cutting right through the chest, kid.
Yeah. Oh, God. I went through, they had seven catheters into me instead.
Damn.
Oh, man.
Three in each groin and one in the shoulder.
I don't want to hear
about it. The next catheter.
Freaky. You're flying somewhere.
The only catheter I ever had went inside little Johnny's.
Oh, come on. I don't want to hear that story.
That was not fun, John.
Gross.
Johnny, I had the same thing. Right. And when they put it in, it's not a big deal because you already got the anesthesia in you.
You guys are awful.
The worst is when you're in your room and they remove it. They just pull it out.
When she ripped it out, I wanted to marry her.
Oh, my God.
I said, I'm in love. Get over here,
you guys
sweetie.
Are killing me, dude. I'm leaving if you
clean up
stop.
On I-12.
Oh, my heavens.
The worst.
Guys, come on.
The
guys.
Worst.
Oh, my heavens.
People are having late breakfast. I mean, take it easy.
If you're having a late breakfast, now get your ass up.
The worst part of the whole deal, they put sandbags over each of the incisions. What? Sandbags. So you don't get a blood clot. And when they find your back goes into a spasm.
Oh!
My sister-in-law, who's a doctor, came and said, all right, we're taking these off. Oh, my God. It's like...
She started smacking you?
Greatest release of your life.
That was the hope.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
No, that's not the greatest release of my life. I promise you
that. All right, let's not talk about that.
I was in a place in Tijuana.
Trapper John MD here.
Once they took the donkey out, good things were happening.
So the diva's back in Green Bay.
Oh, he's back. I know. We were so... We were wishfully optimistic, maybe, is that what you say? But we kind of knew all along, right? Yeah, he's going to show up. He wants to win another one.
Ultimately, what's going to happen? The Packers were going to get rid of him after next year anyway. They're going to trade him to whatever. He ends up knowing now that he's going to end up leaving at the end of the, you know, after this year. So, you know, I asked the simple question, and Carmen's going to put it on the web poll. Who won? The Packers or Aaron Rodgers? Simple. Who won? The Packers or Aaron Rodgers?
I think Aaron Rodgers, but I was thinking about it a lot when Yurko asked me that in the office this morning.
The smoke started coming out of his
ears. Yeah, it did. Like, all of a sudden, this is not hard to rack my brain. All of a sudden, I'm like, man, good question.
And my answer is, to me, it's so apparent that the Packers won this thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Really?
That it's beyond doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why
we're going to ask the whip poll. Carm, get to work.
Well,
you can't expect me to do it. Look at my fat fingers.
All right.
It'll come out. It'll be all misspelled. It'll be awful. It won't represent the show well.
Should I just put who won? The Green Bay Packers or Aaron Rodgers?
Okay. Who won the stalemate?
Packers?
Who won?
Aaron Rodgers. That's it. Simpler it is, the better it is.
Yeah, brevity.
That's it.
Like they taught us in
journalism 101. Brevity. It's good coffee, too. If you ever had a cup of brevity. Mmm, delicious, Johnny. Johnny, I got another zit on my inner thigh. I'm thinking about squeezing.
You know what? It's me and you on the ground, man.
It's becoming a carbuncle.
You better not do that. There's a TV show called like The Big Popper. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
I've seen Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah.
But there's others. And then there's on Snapchat, if you go in there, they've got a pimple popper in there, too.
I saw that.
They also got a Snapchat. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's a chiropractor. They got a number of chiropractors on there. It's called crack. And you've got to, you know, they give you a little bit of a tease. But just hearing the body adjust and the noises that come out of the human body is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the relief that people have when they're aligned. You know, there's something to say for an alignment.
Yeah.
You know, getting realigned. It's good. It's like your car. Your car's out of alignment, your tire's going to wear funny. If you're out of alignment, you're going to wear funny.
So hearing
get back in line.
Hearing that sound has got to be like an afterglow for you, though, right?
Man, it's great.
Is that the best?
The neck just cracking a little bit. What is it, L4?
Mm-hmm.
They're going down to chase L4 right next to the coccyx.
The coccyx.
Good times.
Can I ask a quick question? This is maybe minutia. In terms of how to properly alphabetize this poll, should I put Aaron Rodgers first or the Packers first? Like, what's the rule on that?
I think you'd go by Rodgers' last name, wouldn't you?
I don't know. So should the Packers go first?
Packers one, Rodgers
right,
two.
Okay, I'm glad I asked you guys that.
And you could just you don't even have to put Aaron, just put Rodgers.
Carmen, are you out of your mind? Just put the poll up.
Packers Rodgers.
Well, honey, I'm trying.
I mean, this is not a ballot. Just put it up. I mean, just what are you doing?
Does it really matter?
You got a Dominion machine in your hand there? What's going on?
I don't know.
What's
wrong with you?
I'm going to put the Packers Aaron Rodgers. That's where I put it.
I mean, what are you doing there?
I mean, I don't know.
This is not a. This is not
rocket science.
It's not an election ballot.
Rodgers,
St. Francis de Sales on Finals Day.
I had a grammatical error on Twitter last night. I apologize.
I mean, did you should avoid people write on Twitter?
And I know, and that's why, like, sometimes I'll use it to tweak people when they yell at you and they've got a bunch of grammatical errors or misspellings, you know? But when you do it yourself,
did you get the first vote in?
Yeah.
Let me get in there.
Celebrating, Carm.
I'm going to vote twice.
That's Chicago. How do you vote twice?
I love that. Yeah, we're in, man. Hopefully we'll get about 1,200 responses.
So when Corey says, hey, guys, I am eating breakfast. You're killing me.
See? See?
I told you.
Wake up and smell the coffee, kid.
God.
Or Yurko's thigh.
I get old. If you're going to be down there, kid, there's other things to smell. Oh, boy. They're not good.
What did you think of the Javi walk-off?
Good for Javi.
I thought it was fun.
Like, nobody likes Amir Garrett, right? So, you know.
I thought it was fun.
It was pretty epic.
If Garrett gets back in there and Javi's up there, boy, there's one to the ear coming. I'd guarantee that. Straight to the temple. There ain't no gray area. I'm not saying it. I'm not wishing for it. I'm not riding Barrett and telling him to do that, but I would not be surprised if that didn't happen.
I guess he's capable of it, Amir Garrett.
He's a salty dog.
We got to find out from Waddle today, too, whether or not he feels there's going to be a retaliation from his Cincinnati Royals.
There will be. There's going to be something. This is not going gentle into the good night.
What was Javi doing? Like the P.J. Fleck row the boat? What was that?
I didn't know what it was.
Oh, stirring the pot.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
The pot's going to be stirred now.
Got it.
Was he brewing a witch's brew? Is that what was happening there?
And then he gave the bat flip. He tore open his jersey.
Let me ask you a question. Did that bat end up on the field of play?
Yes.
That's a problem.
What?
That is a problem.
He threw it at the feet of Amir Garrett.
Yes, he did. If you don't think that's a problem, Carm, I'm telling you it's a problem.
Cassiano's flexed at home plate and got suspended for it.
So you think Baez will get suspended for that?
You got a problem.
Oh, I don't know.
Major issues.
I didn't see the Marquee Network version of it. Well, I heard it.
Mm.
So
here we go. All loaded up. Bottom of the ninth, 5-5. Garrett ready, deals. In the air, center field.
Javi is just staring at that.
And that is that. And Baez let Garrett know. Baez tossed the bat. Garrett picked it up. The celebration is on. And the Cubs win it 6-5.
One pitch. That's all it took.
Makes Cubs-Reds a little more interesting the next couple of
days. It will.
But listen to the Reds' call of it.
Boy.
And they are a little more descriptive.
Just taking Marty around the call.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
Baez
collapsed when he ran through first in the eighth inning yesterday. Five-man infield in. First pitch. Sky to the outfield, and Baez yelling at Garrett. He is screaming at Garrett. And he wins the game, tossing the bat at Garrett's feet. Garrett picks up the bat, tosses it aside. And the Reds fall 6-5.
I mean, immediately a scream, and he is screaming right at Garrett. He is looking at Garrett, screaming at Garrett. Didn't get his attention. But he's still talking, and then he throws the bat right at him. And you can see Wilson Contreras saying, go, 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 go. That should make for an interesting rest of the series.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you.
Emotions run high. Baez letting it all hang out.
There's going to be a deep drive into left field by Castellanos.
So when a cowboy
there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Sylvie.
I was searching for the U.S. Women's National Team soccer game on this morning against Australia.
Yeah.
In my search for that during the Olympiad here on the number of channels it's being broadcast on, I came upon a Boomer and Geo.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped to try to see what's happening in New York. When I got to listen to it, I got a great breakdown of the Rangers. Nobody cared. Breakdown of the Yankees. The Yankees, are they going to sell now after losing to the Rebbe? Don't care. Then I got to this thing. the Cubs and the Reds. And the first thing the guy says after he reads the story and describes exactly what happened.
Jerry Recco.
It will be an interesting time in Chicago.
Yeah, we all have that feeling right now.
So,
makes it a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
There's going to be a response. You can't do what he did in his celebration, which is fine. You're flamboyant. People come to see you, whatever. When you're a 50-win team, we'll see how much of that is happening. But there's going to be a response.
The bat throws a little much, isn't it? We can all agree. A lot of it was a little much, but that's fine
when you win. Keep the bat on outside lines. The bat needs to stay outside lines.
All I know is...
Talk to Smack. You want to talk. Doesn't matter to me.
All I know is that Cowboy Jeff Brantley The old nasty boy knows.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be really interesting for the rest of the series. Up here.
More than any other team, any fan base.
Yes.
Are these fans right here, the Chicago Cubs?
That was Marty, wasn't it?
That was Marty.
I'm telling you, if Jeff Brantley sees it, if he's on the mound, Norm Charlton or Rob Dibble.
Well, you might have a Doc Ellis situation today.
Who's going to be on LSD?
First three guys in the game get hit.
Oh, yes, yes.
Three guys in the game get hit. Then it's out. Goodbye.
I love it.
Doctor.
Jeff Brantley says that runner slid into second base. if Brantley sees it, he goes, someone's going to get it.
And lost
maybe,
in
maybe
it,
Rizzo.
And lost in it is another big home run from Wilson Contreras. And I keep talking about, why the Cubs don't sign Wilson Contreras?
Yeah, I think they're going to.
Okay, they should. I'm not even a Cub fan. The one guy you should keep and you should value is
Wilson Contreras. He's a tough, hard-nosed guy.
Yeah. I want to sign the two guys that are giving great effort every single week.
Who?
Every day. Well, according to Baez, Contreras, it's him and Baez.
Well,
right?
I don't know. I've got more thoughts on it. I've gone down this road with Yurko before about Contreras.
We have.
And now it's almost August, and I'll give you more
this wormhole, Carm.
On Contreras.
We've gone down it.
Coming up next on Carmen and Yurko, will Russell Wilson ever win another Super Bowl? That's all part of their show coming up. Kick us out, Yurko.
What time, boys? Oh. Who's the guy with the ears in the middle?
That's Orlovsky.
Oh, okay. You can get those pinned back for a couple thousand.
Was he a German Shepherd? I mean,
you
think he's Fabio. I mean, you're right.
I'm just looking. I mean, somebody should give him the advice.
I swear to God, when he looks in the mirror, he sees Fabio back.
He's pulling a Siciliano right there.
I mean, it's amazing.
First of all, he's got nothing on Siciliano, right? I'll bust Siciliano's balls a little bit. I mean, who are we kidding? Well, you know.
Andrew, here's our conversation right now.
Andrew.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He uses those as a satellite dish.
I love Andrew, but come on.
So, all right, you guys have a great day.
It's like a Doors to a Lamborghini opening.
Hoodie, I'll see you at 7.
Yeah, I tell you.
All right, buddy.
Have a great day. All right, we're out of here. Carm and Yurk are next. See ya.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Morning and happy Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers has reported to training camp. I guess it was too good to be true. Most of us had a sense that he still was going to end up playing for the Packers in 2021. Looks like this year could be the last year. But apparently, he's getting what he wants. The Packers will get what they want. I guess they'll move on from him at the end of the year. Am I understanding this right? That's like, what was all this about? What was it all for? I'm reading Adam Schefter this morning. You ready? The agreement in principle would include an approximation of the following conditions that the two sides now are finalizing to alleviate and address some of Rodgers' issues before the opening of camp. The 2023 year in Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, will be voided with no tags allowed in the future. The Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of the year. This sounds like...
Which doesn't mean he's gone after 21.
It's like a review we have at work here. Come on in for your review with your manager. Rodgers' contract will be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room now. Mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. What mechanisms? If Packers officials sign off on their willingness to trade Rodgers and the agreement is finalized soon, here's the biggest concession the reigning MVP will receive. The freedom to decide where he wants to play in 2022. The Packers' agreement to quote-unquote review the situation after the season implies that the team will trade Rodgers if he still feels the way he has about the Packers' culture and decision-making.
You know what that is? Word salad and crap.
It sounds like it to me.
It's word salad and crap. That's everything that I hear right now. The only thing of anything is if they're going to void the 2023 year. That's the only thing of substance.
That's apparently it.
One thing of substance in this whole deal is they're voiding 2023.
Well, what about next year?
Well, and also the tag.
Free of tags.
He's free of the franchise tag.
So he's free of tags after 2022.
So what happens next year? Are they going to do this same stupid song and dance next year?
Depends how he feels. Depends on how Aaron Rodgers feels.
But what it does is by retaining that last year, it allows them to get something back.
They'll trade
them. They get draft picks they allow him to go ahead and pick whatever destination if that's the case, and I would bet that that's likely the case.
Do you think that that's really what's happening here, that they won't come out and publicly say that on either side, but they've agreed, play for us one more year. We've been in the NFC title game the last 2 years. Let's go and win it, and we'll trade you to wherever you want.
I don't even know if that's the case. I think it's come play for us one more year because that's your only option. You do not have the ability to go play somewhere else without us approving it. And so come play one more year, and after that we'll cut ties and everybody can go their own separate way.
You can't retire.
Exactly.
Nothing happens if you retire. Welcome to 2024. That's what happens
because he just kicks the can down the road, and his contract is still the Packers' rights.
All right, so here it is. Who won? That's the web poll. On my Twitter timeline, at Carmen DeFalco, the Packers are Aaron Rodgers. It's closer than I thought it would be. 57% of the audience going with the Packers. 43% of the audience going with Aaron Rodgers. He really had no leverage. Yurko said that from day one.
Well, Yurko,
like, where are you going to play? I mean, like, you know, we're not going to trade you. Where do you think you're going to play?
Everyone out there that said he had leverage, I said from day one, you're full of crap.
But does this
You are full of. You are full of crap.
Does it ultimately give him a little bit more of what he wanted, and that's you'll be free at the end of the year?
Was this their original plan, to let Jordan Love go ahead and develop the same way Aaron Rodgers developed?
Like they would have been done with him next year anyway?
Rodgers, they could have been and moved him anyway next year.
Now it's almost a guarantee.
Almost a guarantee, but not necessarily a guarantee.
Almost.
Right.
When
don't think that's guaranteed. There's no 2023. That's guaranteed, and he can't get franchise or transition tag.
Right, no tag.
That's what you have that's come out of this.
When the good kid came in and this morning in our IDOT bullpen and said, who won? I think we all won because we got to talk about, I mean, this was it's like a great soap opera for the past.
Bears fans didn't win.
Yeah, Bears fans did not win, Mark.
Not like for our intents and purposes. Bears fans have lost. Like
Bears fans, the Bears don't win today. I'm sorry.
There's no victory for the Bears fans when Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay.
The win is if he leaves.
The win for the Chicago Bears is if Ryan Fields takes the job.
Remember how I said yesterday, you know, we were talking about the buzz in Vegas?
Yeah.
Justin Fields. Did you just call him Ryan Fields?
No.
You called him Ryan Fields.
You called him like Ryan Fields.
Yeah.
Justin Fields. So remember yesterday
What's Ryan Fields?
Ryan Field is the Northwestern Wildcats play.
Yeah, I'll get it right.
It's an easy mistake.
Yeah.
You know, Northwestern actually did very well against Justin Fields. So
Field? No, it was Indianapolis.
No, it was in Indianapolis. Yes. Here's the deal. Yesterday, right, I told you guys what was going on in Vegas. And I said, as of last week, like 48 hours prior, 72 hours prior, the Packers were about a -125, -130 favorite to win the North. Yesterday, because of some of the buzz, the Vikings were the favorite at plus, I can't remember what I said they were, and the Packers were the second choice at about plus 150. I think the Vikings were like, well, plus 130, something like that. The Packers were the second choice. Points bet today, guess what the Packers are? Minus 140, back to where they rightfully belong.
Where they were.
As division favorites.
And
the Bears went from plus 325 to 5-1.
Yeah.
If you believe the Bears,
where it belongs.
But that's probably where the Bears belong.
Yeah, you know, there's another issue
Minnesota's plus 225.
I got you. There's another issue today. Simone Biles. What happened? What's going on in Japan?
Okay, so I need to lean on you guys more for this because you know I am not, I don't really study the Olympics.
You're not
Olympic. I watch more than I always think I'm going to watch. I will admit to you that I've watched a lot of the swimming. I doubt that I'm going to stay up for the basketball game tonight because it starts at like midnight and they're playing Iran. I mean, if they struggle with Iran, God. You know, right? They're playing Iran,
yes,
aren't they?
I
mean, like, geez.
41-point favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to be about a, you know, I can't even believe they put a book up on that, for crying out loud.
All right.
I have watched, but when we start getting into Simone Biles and... I didn't even think if you were 24, you were considered like an elite gymnast anymore. Isn't that? I thought you had to be like 17 to be an elite gymnast.
On the Chinese team, usually they're about 15, 16, 14. That's where they're at, and they find that's where the premium gymnastics happen for the Chinese team.
Is she still like considered the best?
Yes.
Oh, she's absolutely.
Still considered the best, but the situation that popped up here.
What happened?
During the team competition, she was doing her vaults. She was supposed to do 2.5. She ended up 1.5, had a bad landing, and now she pulled herself out of that team competition. I don't know if it was so okay. That's that bad. Maybe we get our substitute or our next girl in to try to go ahead and get a better vault. But it looks like she's pulling herself out of the Olympics.
It's,
out of the individual events now.
Yeah, it was initially reported as a medical condition. Like, there's not a whole lot of clarity to it. And to your point, though, Carm, yeah, at 24 years old, that's, you know, generally.
This is her last Olympia.
You're ancient, aren't you?
The problem is, well, yeah, because of the beating that gymnastics puts on your body.
Right.
Oftentimes, when you're 17, 18, the years that they've put in and the hours that they've accumulated on their body, the wear and tear for most female athletes at that age, when you hit 24, they just have nothing
it's
left.
It's been too much.
That's
yes.
brutal.
It's been too much.
I heard her talking about that, and they played a clip. Tirico introduced it last night during one of the – I happened to be watching for a little bit, and she talked about how hard it is now compared to the last Olympiad, you know, because of injuries and things
like
that.
Right?
Yeah, and it's been an extra year. It's 5 years later, and she's just not the same.
You guys, the medical condition has come out to be a mental issue.
That's the medical condition. She's just exhausted. She's
tapping
out.
Come out to be a mental issue.
Maybe she's tapped out. Like maybe she doesn't have it anymore. Right? I mean, like,
well, not that. Maybe that it was leading up, because the competition she had leading up to the Olympics, she was fantastic.
She was
absolutely fantastic.
That highlights.
They called her the goat. They called her this. They called her that. Maybe she peaked a little bit early, and then the Olympics came, and she's not in her prime form.
Wow.
Either way. It's a little bit, probably for NBC, who was counting on Simone Biles to really drive some of the ratings. That's gone down the tubes, it looks like, here.
All right, so the topic of conversation in the IDOT bullpen this morning upstairs. Remember, IDOT, driving, biking, or walking responsibly really is a matter of life or death. So learn more through social media or online at lifeordeathillinois.com. Who won? Green Bay, the Packers. How do you feel about the situation? Are you pretty pissed off if you're a Bears fan? 312-332-3776. Vote on the Twitter poll on my timeline at Carmen DeFalco. We'll talk baseball with Jesse Rogers in about 30 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
There's no need to fire the breaking news sounder yet, but in a little bit, I think we're going to have to. Emily Kaplan's about as good as it gets when it comes to covering the NHL.
She's pretty good.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Emily tweeted, news, the Chicago Blackhawks are in late stages of trade talks to acquire Marc-Andre Fleury from the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, capture the last few years.
ESPN.
The last few years. The last few years of magic for Marc-Andre Fleury?
I guess, like, this is really now just, like, stands. We got to empty the tank and throw darts, and anybody we can get that maybe's done something. Let's see if we can make the playoffs. Marc-Andre Fleury still had a pretty decent year last year.
I'm just saying he's not a spring chicken anymore.
No, he's entering the last year of a contract, a cap hit of $7 million. But this is like goes to what Meller was saying yesterday. They have no intention of sending like the fifth pick to Columbus next year. They think they can be a playoff team. Is Seth Jones and Marc-Andre Fleury make the Blackhawks a playoff team? Like, if we're being real, Meller thinks so. You're way more optimistic than I thought you would be on this, Meller.
How many points better are they with these two?
Go ahead, Jeff.
How many points better? They're going to need to be 10 to 12 points better.
At least.
Yeah.
To make the playoffs. Is this a fair question? Who's in their division next year?
That is a good question.
Lord knows.
Do they go back? That is a good question.
Because the way they're currently situated, I don't love their chances of, you know, because basically I'm like, it's fourth seed or bust out of that division.
Right. Like Florida, Carolina, Tampa, right?
Those three teams are going anywhere anytime soon, right?
Right.
If we're going back to the old divisions.
Okay, but even then, Colorado, right? Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota really had a good year last year. Weird year, but a good year.
St. Louis.
But they could look a little different. Right. I think they already are starting to look different. Like Tarasenko,
Nashville, Mike Columbus.
Nashville, right? That's a really good point.
If Tampa, you're starting out with Tampa in your division right out of the get-go, okay. You're not winning the division, right?
Right.
But even, you're right.
Not to mention Florida and Carolina.
Colorado's really good.
Colorado's
really good. Excellent.
So they're probably
going to be one of the two favorites.
They're comparable, but you know, it's hard to just know how many points they're going to be better next year. I like the roster more going into next season with Seth Jones and Andre Fleury. You know what? He still had a 9.28 save percentage last season.
He had a good year.
Granted, it was in front of the Vegas defense, so
yeah,
it's hard to necessarily know exactly what you're getting. But I think it's a step in the right direction. And as a Hawks fan, maybe it's clinging to the hope and prayer that you can salvage the glory years of Taves and Kane. And is Taves back for sure? Right? We think based on what we heard. You know,
he sure seems like it. He put out a video saying, you know, he's back in Chicago.
What kind of player is he? Those questions make it very difficult to answer how much better they're going to be. But I like, as a Hawks fan, I like the idea of having a competitive team on the ice next year. Because once you start and you go full rebuild, those are going to be some long, lean years. And I know Yurko's like rip the Band-Aid off. Don't just try and take the, or I think this is Yurko's point, is that don't just go ahead and milk the fans for every last dollar, right? If you're going to go ahead and rebuild, just do it, rip the Band-Aid off, and try and start the next championship
run.
Yeah.
Perhaps the time to capitalize on trading Taves and Kane and truly maximizing, and we always have to like qualify these things by noting that Taves and Kane have full no move clauses. I mean,
they do.
You know, but let's play fantasy, okay? And like if 4 years ago they thought, let's go down this road. Let's talk to them, find where they want to go, we'll maximize the return. Maybe they're looking at it now like, man, that ship sailed. You're not getting anything for Taves with all the uncertainty. Kane can still really play.
Right.
But he's also getting older and
Affected by injury at the second half of last year, yeah. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think big time. Are they thinking like that ship has sailed and we have to do what Mellor just said, like we've got to squeeze every last little like chunk out of these two guys while we can, while they're here for two more years, so let's add Marc-Andre Fleury and Seth Jones and see if we can sneak into the playoffs.
Somehow. I had forgotten this, and I should have remembered after Kucherov's comments. He won the Vezina last year, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yes,
I forgot
about
that.
He had a very good year.
Flower, come aboard. Vezina winner.
He had a very good year.
You said it in front of that Vegas
defense. Their defense is awesome.
Yeah. In front of that Vegas defense. He's going to be seeing some more shots, and he's going to be seeing much higher quality chances.
It's been the Hawks' problem.
Yes, that's been the Hawks'
problem.
Shots
in the slot.
Good shots in the slot. Shots. Goaltending is not the Hawks' problem. Could they be better?
A lot of slotty shots.
Lankinen, you might not be overly impressed or enamored and think he's like a real solid long-term answer or dealer or any of the other ones, but goaltending really hasn't been their problem. But Fleury's coming off a strong year. There's no doubt.
Would they trade?
Even though they sat him one game and it might have cost them. What was the series where Leonard played game one and they got the doors blown out? Remember? Did they end up losing that series? I'm trying to remember now. I'd have to, forgive me, it was a month ago and I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I don't know how I can remember things from the 80s, but I can't remember 6 weeks ago. Because it might have been the series they ultimately lost where they got the doors blown off in game one.
Well, you had less clutter in your head in the 80s.
I guess you're right, Mellor.
No, that's truly what it is. Like, yeah, as you age.
How can I not remember?
All of this stuff starts to, you know, it's like you've got a file cabinet inside your brain,
yeah,
and you've got lots and lots of files now. And
it's,
so
there's
you have
way
to
too many. I got to purge it. I got to clean it out.
When you're young, you start off with your office in your house, and there's only a handful of books on the shelves, and there's plenty of room for stuff. When you get older, it all starts stacking up, and you got piles of books here on the floor, piles everywhere.
Yeah,
I think it was the 2016 season, Carm. When it was the first season Alex, my son, started watching football, he could, for a while there, tell me the score of every single Bears game.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know,
and now he's 11, right, and he doesn't have the ability because it was the first season he ever watched.
I guess you're right. The clutter just starts to mount up. Okay, here's some more on this. Ready? If you've got a thought, 312-332-3776. This can be about Rodgers going back. If you're pissed off as a Bears fan about that, who won up there? If you think the Hawks are doing the right thing, like, can they squeeze one more magical run out of Taves and Kane in the next 2 years while they're both still under contract? And are they doing the right things? And it sounds like this is going to happen. Emily's got a follow-up tweet, okay? This is pending a trade call, she writes, guys. Vegas will not retain any of Marc-Andre Fleury's salary, $7 million through this season, which isn't a crazy number, as we just said. Only minor leaguer Mikael Hakanarian is going to Vegas. I might be butchering that name. Boy, he's got two Mikael. But the first Mikael's got two Ks. The second one's only got one. Does that ring a bell, that name, Miller? It doesn't for me. Mikael Hakanarian. He's going to be going to
Hakarenin.
It sounds like a Finn to me. He's a Finn or a Swede. I don't know.
Hakarenin.
Maybe a Russian. I don't know.
Norwegian.
He's somewhere, I'm going to say, in the Scandinavian
there you
part
go.
Handful of the world.
He's got Viking blood, Carm. He's got Viking blood.
Handful of fjords in his future.
He doesn't have tiger blood. He's got Viking blood. And we'll just call him MMH. Is going to Vegas. Clears the path for Robin Leonard to be the starter in Vegas. Flower is the number one in Chicago. Well, that's obvious.
Oh, Lincoln. And it was actually the series that they won against the Avalanche.
Against the Avs. There you go.
Leonard got game one, and he gave up seven goals.
It was like 7-1.
7-1.
They were like, Peter DeVore, what the hell are you doing?
And they came back and won that series.
And they won that series, yeah. No, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury, this isn't like a knock on Fleury. And I don't mean to paint it that way. For a guy who's had some ups and downs in his career, he's been good. He was also in a great situation on a great defensive team. You know, the team that played good defense, the best two-way center in the game, period, is on that team. I mean, like, you know, he's coming from a pretty good situation to be a goalie. The Hawks don't have that situation right now. They're not the 2015 Blackhawks.
Did you see this from Jesse Granger, who writes for The Athletic and covers the Golden Knights? That source close, that the deal is done, and that the Vezina Trophy winner found out through Twitter.
Wow, how about that?
So they didn't even tell him. They found out through Twitter.
I mean,
that's not that uncommon anymore.
Yeah, I guess it's not.
Like,
it's
I know
bad.
People.
That's bad, though.
It's not, though. I don't think it's the teams trying to screw the player. It's just a matter of this is the world you live in.
Yeah.
And social media, like, Emily Kaplan has good sources.
It just moves too fast.
Like, they don't want to tell Marc-Andre Fleury before the deal's done, hey, we're trading you.
Yeah.
And then it fall apart because that's almost worse.
It moves too fast.
37 in November.
Yeah, he turns 37. Last year of his deal. I mean, like, I'm telling you, they're taking one last shot, right? Isn't that what they're doing? 312-332-3776. Is this going to work for the Blackhawks? We'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Well, so there's some breaking news here today as we started discussing the Blackhawks are acquiring Marc-Andre Fleury, coming off a strong year, really strong couple years, even though they added Robin Leonard from the Hawks, and Robin Leonard's going to be their new number one out there. 1 year left, $7 million. That's the cap hit for Fleury. The Blackhawks absorbing all of that. Guess they're going to go down swinging one last time with Taves and Kane. It appears to be the plan. By the way, there is news. There was news a couple of days ago. Miller and I must have missed this. I apologize, but this was, I think, 3 days ago from the Puck Daddy. The league, I guess, did release, like, divisional realignment, and I think this is going to be in effect for this year. You know, the Kraken are back in, so it's not going to be the COVID divisions from last year. And the Hawks, the minute that came out, we looked at it and went, Jesus, the Hawks have a buzzsaw. Sure enough, they did. But it's back to sort of the old division with a little tweak now because of Seattle. So Arizona is in. So it's Arizona, the Hawks, Colorado, which will be probably the second choice to win the Stanley Cup next year. Dallas, Minnesota, interesting team, had a strong year. Nashville, St. Louis, and Winnipeg, always pesky and feisty and usually pretty good. So not as daunting maybe as the other one. It's kind of back to normal. Not an easy division by any stretch of the imagination. And the Hawks are going to have to be a lot better than they were last year. Yurko made the point over and over again. You're not a playoff team in a normal year when you average a point per game. You're like 15 points shy. When you average a point per game,
that's where you're at.
And so
that's just the truth.
You got a lot of ground to make up.
You've got to make up a lot of ground.
So if you want to talk about it with us, 312-332-3776. Jason's on the north side. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good. Always nice to talk hockey and with you guys. And I'll just kind of piggyback off what you said, Carm. It is going to be a tough division, and everybody is gunning for getting that Stanley Cup. So maybe bringing Fleury and Seth Jones might be a way for the Bowman regime to try to get one more swing at making the playoffs before they kick him out the door. Yeah. So I think this is saving face, honestly. That's just me. I think it's saving face.
And before Taves and Kane are done, I mean, like, you know, for all that we've always discussed about trading one of them or maximizing value, it is important to note that they've got full no-move clauses. They might have expressed very clear to the Blackhawks, we're not going anywhere. This is where we want to. I mean, I don't know. And so now you're taking one more shot with them.
The goalie for Vegas now was a Blackhawk, right?
Yeah, Robin Leonard. They traded him a year and a half ago.
Okay, so he was a Blackhawk.
Correct.
So their future in Vegas is with a former Hawks goaltender. Yeah.
Who's no spring chicken himself. How old's Robin Leonard?
Is he 32?
Okay.
He buys five, six years.
He's 30 this year.
Oh, he's 30. He's a little younger than I thought.
He's buying 7 years on your guy.
Yeah.
That's 7 years he's buying.
A little younger than
I
thought.
November.
Leonard's a good interview.
Right.
He's fun.
But, I mean, the point is that there's one organization figuring out you can't go with the old. You got to go with the young. Here's a guy that we're going to go ahead and have faith in, and we moved on from Fleury. Here we are getting rid of the guy that Vegas is going to stick with.
We need to blow in a call to Eddie O. Didn't Eddie coach Fleury in his rookie campaign? I bet you Eddie was the Pens
03.
Coach.
I think it was 03, 04.
Yeah.
That they ended up drafting him.
He's called. Think about all the games he's seen the Flower play through the Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh, through the benching, and then bouncing back and still winning another one with Pittsburgh, playing in a Stanley Cup final a couple years ago with Vegas. Let's get Eddie on tomorrow. Randy, would you make that call now? Please?
Let's reach out to Eddie.
Right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you got a free minute maybe.
As we speak. Get on the phone with Eddie.
Either later today or maybe it's better for tomorrow. Let's get Eddie on tomorrow.
We got an hour and five. Maybe we can get him on the air because if we don't.
Yeah, why don't Sylvie will or Cap will? Let's squeeze Eddie in.
Let's make it happen.
Let's do it during the 11 o'clock hour. I think it's important.
I think it's important too. Make it happen.
Make that happen, Merkman. Tom's in Plainfield. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. I don't know about you, but the whole Aaron Rodgers situation, I don't look at it like, oh, I wanted him out of the division because that way we could win. I've played sports. I never wanted to win by just beating down on a lesser team. If we're going to win a Super Bowl, we're going to have to go through some really good teams, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you can't make it easier to get to the playoffs without Aaron Rodgers in the division.
You got
to
beat the best to be the best.
That's like Merkin's philosophy. You share
I mean,
that?
When the Packers won their first Super Bowl in a long time after the 96 campaign.
Yeah, when they won in
11. They never had to play Dallas. Dallas was their bugaboo. They went 0-7 to Dallas in the previous 5 years. They couldn't beat Dallas at all. Dallas got upended by the Carolina Panthers. The Packers beat the Panthers in the NFC Championship game. They go down and beat New England. They didn't beat their bugaboo team. They didn't beat the team. Somebody else did for them. And then they beat that team to go to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl with Brett Favre.
Tom, I think you're right. Like,
it doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get
there. You'd have to beat good teams in the playoffs in the NFC. I get that. But the path is easier without Aaron Rodgers, let's face
it. That's just the truth.
Well, I guess so. It would be a more, for me, if we beat the Packers and then
satisfying?
Went on to do well,
yeah.
That's what, that then I say, hey, we beat the best to get the best, and now we're the best, and now I can stick it to my Packer friends.
There
like,
you go.
Thank God you re-signed him, and he sucks anyways.
Thanks,
to
Tom.
Be the best, you got to beat the best.
The problem is he doesn't
suck.
It's a
great theory.
The Bears can't beat him. Like, they haven't been able to beat him.
I mean, the Bears in 85. They didn't get a chance against the Dolphins again, right?
I mean, that was a fait accompli, remember? We're like, oh, it'll be Bears and Dolphins for sure.
Yeah,
and somehow the Patriots beat them.
We all thought it would be the Dolphins.
Everybody did. Thought Monday night, you know, there's, Dolphins walk off the field winners in this one, but we'll see you in 10 weeks at the Super Bowl, or 8 weeks at the Super Bowl.
Whenever it was. Yeah. It was week 13, I remember.
Yeah, it was December. It was right around my birthday.
Week 13.
I'll never forget. And my mom let us stay up late during school.
And you were disappointed.
I don't think I made it for the whole game. The by at one point, I was finally like,
The deflection where Nat Moore came down with the catch, I mean, that was like a key.
Well, they came out of the
down.
Gates, like.
And what they did was they ran a third wide receiver, made Otis Wilson get out and cover.
Back then, there weren't a lot of three wide receiver sets, were there, York?
No.
There weren't a ton, you know?
Well, not a ton. And, you know, they did it intentionally to force Wilbur to come out, and that changed things for them.
Yeah.
And I think they went three wides, one back the whole day.
They had the speed to do it on the field that day. All right, and when we come back, we're going to talk Cubs and White Sox with Jesse Rogers. Who are the White Sox going to add? Who are the Cubs going to send out? Andrew Chafin gone. Jock is already gone. Who's next? And Jesse says there were more White Sox scouts. This is three series in a row now, scouting the Cubs, keeping a close eye on the north side. What is the very latest? We're going to find out when we return in 2 minutes.